Welcome to the podcast, hosted by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. And now, our host, publisher Scott Adams.
Hey everyone, Scott Adams here with the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. We are having another one of our podcasts on the series that we started back in the June issue of JHC around the top non-acute care supply chain leaders across the country. This week, we're talking to Carla Butts. Carla is the executive director slash client executive team, the Resource Engineering and Hospitality Group at Providence St. Joe's Healthcare in Renton, Washington. Had a great conversation with Carla. I had no idea that the system was 52 hospitals across seven states and over 1,300 alternate site facilities. And we talk a lot about supply chain, but a lot about teamwork, a lot about how things have changed. But more importantly, the key to this podcast for us was we want to look at this series with these five leaders and talk to them about their role. And hopefully for those health systems out there that hear this, that may not have a person in the role like Carla, she's specifically focusing on that non-acute side of their business. I mean, 1,300 facilities, how can you not have a whole team like Carla has? So good conversation here. Hope you enjoy it. And last thing I'll say before we go to the questions with Carla and the conversation with Carla today is I got to thank McKesson for sponsoring this. If companies like McKesson don't sponsor our podcast, we wouldn't be able to have an organization that could put content out like this for you. So thank you so much, McKesson, and hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Here we go. Hey, Carla, it is so good to have you on the podcast today. I know we've kind of struggled to get together and get this recorded, so I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. I'm happy to answer all your questions. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I'm going to just jump right into the first question here and just ask you if you would, you know, you recently were nominated and won, you know, non-acute care supply chain leaders to watch in the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. Talk to me a little bit about that role and kind of your role in your organization specifically, you know, around managing that in non-acute space.
Yeah, thanks. My role at Providence Health System is being a member of our client executive team. And we really focus on five priorities by partnering with region and ministry executives and business owners to strengthen the REH group's relationships. We increase our transparency by building accountability to elevate the focus to a more strategic level. So we really focus on service performance and value of supply expense to budget, MBRs, rhythm of business. We look at how we can eliminate uncontrolled variation and increase our compliance across our network. We also have what's called a relationship index. We measure how our relationship with our business partners in the ministries and campuses is based on our cadence and the information and our own performance on delivering on their requests. And then we also work towards that collaboration and transparency. We have what's called a radar, where we really outline what's happening in the world of REH and how it might impact the individual business owners. And then we really just focus on month-to-month communications and helping with system rollouts of new initiatives and programs. And then in addition to that, my role also has me working in developing our strategy. We've really launched our non-acute ambulatory strategy in the past 3 years. And so as we've progressed, it's really about putting together those building blocks and aligning our system processes to the ambulatory section of our business that we've been doing in our acute facilities for years.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up there towards the end of that answer. You know, when we were in the virtual green room before we came on and started recording, you and I were talking about kind of supply chain and all of the craziness that's been going on over the last 24 months and the fact that your health system was ground zero for COVID in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about how, you know, some of those things that you're measuring and some of that and how your role and those things have changed in the last 18 months, 24 months.
Yeah, I would say that we've gotten to know our customers to a deeper level than we probably would have in the past. We've really gotten to know their day-to-day needs in order to provide care to the communities that we serve. We have looked at product categories and building relationships with suppliers that are not only outside of our network here in the US, but we started building partnerships with companies around the globe and how to answer the call during a pandemic response. And that also includes building bridges between other health systems here in the US and how we can collaborate and come alongside each other when we have a situation like COVID occurring, right? We're all in this together at the end of the day.
I love you guys kind of, I don't know if you'd call it your tagline or your logo, but where you talk about, you know, from at Providence Health, your promise is, you know me, care for me, and ease my way. You know, I think that starts so much at the non-acute space. And I think that we, you know, as we talk through this today, one of the things that I think is real important to talk about is that that role that is we're starting to see. Are you starting to see roles like yours around the country? Are you starting to see counterparts that you're in contact with?
I'm starting to, I'm definitely starting to see and beginning to network with other health systems, with leaders in similar roles, maybe not to the extent of the client executive model, which we have here at Providence, but definitely starting to see some focus put on assigning leadership into the ambulatory non-acute space that perhaps they didn't have before. And what we're recognizing is that we are moving into the communities to deliver care right at the entry point. And so that means expanding those clinic settings, the specialty settings, urgent cares, express cares, rather than having our communities filter into an acute facility that may not be easy for them to access. And so I think as those networks grow and those locations grow for all of us, having some focused leadership helping to drive that has been essential. So it's been exciting to get to know some of my peers around the country.
That's awesome. And I, you know, you talk about that and it's got to be better just population health as a whole when you're out in the community versus somebody, you know, wandering into an ER or a big health system and to be able to treat things maybe more on the front end than when it's critical.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Let me ask it to you and kind of, you kind of answered some of this next question, but I'm going to ask it a little different way. You know, for health systems who don't have a specified non-acute care supply chain leader / team, because I know you have a team, it's not, you know, nobody can do all of what you guys do alone. Can you describe some of the benefits that a team like yours brings to the system?
Yeah, I think beginning first step is really understanding the business, understanding the opportunities that are out there. I think having this team in place has allowed us to know what our current state is, but also really drive strategy for how we expand our footprint. I think that it's key to know that there are differences in how we manage supplies in a non-acute ambulatory setting versus acute. It's important to know that there are nuances in contracting and agreements with specific vendors based on the type of business model, i.e. class of trade. And so I think having a more focused lens in this clearly growing business line for all health systems, it'll prove essential not only for financial opportunities, but also operationally. We're seeing that we have a real opportunity and a hand in building efficiencies out in the front line.
Perfect. You know, obviously to the audience out there, we can't put on podcasts like these on a regular basis if we don't have sponsors. So we're going to take 30 seconds here and hear a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back on the other side.
From doctor's offices and surgery centers to long-term care facilities and patient homes, McKesson works with health systems to develop non-acute supply chain strategies that support better operational, clinical, and financial outcomes. We help you take control of your non-acute supply chain and deliver better results across your system. McKesson's commitment to excellence starts with our mission of improving healthcare in every setting. One product, one partner, one patient at a time. Take the next step in building a high-performing non-acute supply chain and take the lead in delivering high-quality patient care. Visit McKesson.com/take control.
All right, so we're back, guys. Carla, you know, when we talk about some of the things over the last few years and supply chain issues, and you know, my business partner, John Pritchard, and I, as we talk to health systems across the country on a regular basis, it's amazing the different vendors that all of a sudden they found themselves partnering with or buying from that maybe prior to the pandemic would have never even had a shot at it. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit on some of that, and then more importantly, you know, what's been the impact of working with a secondary supplier for you guys at Providence?
Yeah, I think in the past 18 months, meeting vendors that, to your point, we may or may not have had introductions to in the past, that's really changed, because at the end of the day, we have patients to take care of, and we've had to diversify sometimes where we're getting our items in order to continue our care. And I think what that has done has also allowed us to identify opportunities on product standardization. We've recognized that through product standardization, even with our primary suppliers, allows us to manage items much closer. When you have, you know, 100 different types of Kleenex boxes, right, in your warehouse, it's really challenging to manage versus if you have, you know, 10 or 20, right, different types. And so I think we've learned through that, not only with looking at what our vendors can supply, but in what volumes they can supply in order to meet our overall demand across the board, not just ambulatory, but ambulatory acute combined, since we're a very large system. I think that, you know, we've always had secondary relationships with vendors. And I think that they're key because at the end of the day, if one group, you know, cannot provide, we want to have those strong relationships and open lines of communication and partnerships out there to help answer the need.
Yeah, absolutely. In another life, I was actually in the exam glove and sterile surgeon's glove business. And we used to tell folks all the time, hey, as much as we'd love to have every bit of your business, we highly recommend that you have a secondary source for your exam gloves, or maybe even a third, because the FDA all of a sudden puts us on hold, or we have an issue at the factory, or heaven forbid, we have 100 ships sitting out in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. You got to have access to others. So it's good to hear that you're working with other suppliers. Before I ask you the last question, I got a different one for you that's not, that I didn't send over to you. And hopefully this won't catch you off guard. How big, you just said that the system is pretty big. How big's the system?
Yeah, Providence as a whole is, we are at 52 acute sites and counting, and we have well over 1,300 ambulatory locations account for our different business lines in ambulatory. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that you had that many at site.
And we're in 7 states. Yeah.
So having that many different facilities, I imagine, you know, how does having a diversified supply chain just help build resiliency for you guys?
Yeah, it's essential. And it's essential that I work with one of the most remarkable teams, I believe, in the nation. From end to end, P2P, there's not one functional team that isn't key essential to our success. And we all live by our mission, and we all live by our promise that know me, care for me, and ease my way. That's how we get our work done every day.
I love how easily that rolls right off your tongue. I appreciate you so much for your time today. I got one last question for you.
Yeah.
Tell me, is Gonzaga going to make it to the Sweet 16 this year, or do you think they're going to go further?
They better go further. They need to bring that trophy home.
I hear you. Carly, it has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you through the article that we did earlier in the year and in this podcast and just going back and forth on email. If I can ever do anything for you, please let me know. And again, thank you so much for being on the call with me today.
Will do. Thanks so much for the partnership.
Absolutely. Wow, what a great conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I love hearing and learning. I spent most of my career in the non-acute side of the supply business of healthcare. And so it's always nice to talk to someone who's focused on that. Again, I want to thank McKesson for being such a great sponsor of this series and helping us to put these out. And Carla, thank you so much. You were wonderful to work with, and really appreciate it. And look forward to talking with our next person on the supply chain side for non-acute here in the next coming months. So have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.